Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Watching the Boxes Fantasy Basketball Podcast, hosted by #basketball.com, your home for the very best fantasy tools and analysis on the internet, #basketball.com. I'm your host, Mike Catron. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, one of the greatest fantasy basketball analysis in the game today, Tyler P. Watts. What's up, Tyler?
Michael, how are things?
Things are crazy. Things are great. I mean, it's been a wonderful NBA season. We've arrived in the playoffs. We had to take a bit of a hiatus because I have a child now. So that's something. That's crazy. It's the craziest thing that happened this season. How you been? How you been, Tyler?
Good. Everything's been good. Less crazy for me, which is good.
I would like it to be less crazy. I don't think it's going to get less crazy for me in my life. But we're at the end of the NBA season. We're at the end of the fantasy season. So at least that's winding down a bit. And I don't know. We're going to go over our bold predictions. We're going to do a year-end review here to see, you know, what we thought, how we did, and what we think for next year as well. But performance-wise, like, you know, in your leagues, Tyler, how'd you fare this year?
Some good, some bad, I think. I beat you in the playoffs in one league that I don't even know that we knew we faced each other. That was funny.
No, by the time I went and looked at that league from all the things, all the goings-ons in my life, I was like, oh, shit, Tyler beat me 5-4. Who knew?
In my redraft leagues, I only actually played in two redraft leagues this year. I won one, and I took – I would have been in the third and fourth game. I lost in the semis in the other one. I mostly play in a lot of like dynasty and keeper leagues now. I want to say I made the what did I do in that league? I made that was in the quarters, right? And then I think I lost in the semis, or maybe I made the finals and lost. I don't remember.
Yeah, I believe so. That's like a dynasty, like a huge 30 team dynasty league. Not my favorite format to play with, like where there's like no one on the waiver wire. Like it feels kind of boring, and then like some people are good traders, and I think this is like there's some industry people in this Dynasty 30 league. But yeah, I think you lost in the semifinals there. Not bad. Kyle's in it. Kyle did well.
You won the first year, didn't you?
I did win the first year. Yeah, Joel Embiid's destruction. We both have the same mentality when it comes to a Dynasty league, which is draft good players who are good now instead of believing that you're going to draft 7 rookies and 7 second year players who are all going to pan out. And we'll make the playoffs in this league for the next like 3 to 5 years on our just having like good veterans like Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, that league was crazy. Like people were picking, I don't even know, whoever was like a rookie that first year, like in the top 100. And I'm like, this guy got picked like 30th in the draft. What are you doing?
Yeah, there's some strange stuff. Like, the guy who, I don't know who has Wimby in this league, but, like, shout out to that guy. Like, Wimby actually did pan out immediately, which he kind of alluded to him being, like, one of the few rookies ever to be worth his draft hype. That guy also has, like, 7 other rookies. Like, he doesn't have a team around Wimby. It's like, he's going to have Wimby for the next 10, 20 years. Cool. How do you build a team around Wimby when you don't have any other like assets to build, like to gain momentum to like actually sustain a playoff run, right? Like it's kind of a downfall if you like go all young rookies, and even if you hit, you have to still have like a good team around you.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hit like 5 times, which is not easy.
No, not at all. Which is why like I have Mike Connolly and Jimmy Butler and Paul George on my team. It's like that team wins. They're good now.
Yeah, and then, I mean, obviously the problem becomes, like, if you go, like, too heavy on, like, the 30-year-olds, then, you know, in 3 or 4 years when they're all, you know, declining or retired, like, where do you go from there? And that's always the pivot that gets difficult. But a lot of these leagues don't even last that long, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's true. Most of these leagues don't last more than, like, 3 years, so it doesn't matter at all. But, like, I feel like it's easier to pivot, like, what's wrong with me? An ailing Paul George. Paul George is fine. He's not sick. He's okay. He's like 34. He's like a young man. I feel like it's easier to move Paul George for some younger assets than it is to move these younger assets for Paul George.
Like, yeah, 100%. I mean, always. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go try to get Jalen Williams in this league because I love Jalen Williams. And we're going to talk about how we feel about the future in a second. But I did want to, like, mention the industry pickup league that I believe Josh Lloyd created or one of these guys created. It was actually a really fun league because I don't play redraft head-to-head hardly at all. Like, I like Roto. Everybody knows I like Roto. I think it's better. I think you should play your entire season out. And Roto allows you to do that. I actually lost. I went dropped from third to fourth place in a Roto league that I'm in on the final day on one missed shot. It was a 0.0001 difference between third and fourth in field goal percentage. And I'm okay with that because it's a really exciting day. Every single day, every single game mattered. And that's why I push Roto on people who actually really love to play fantasy basketball. It's a superior format. But I did actually enjoy this head-to-head league because it was incredibly competitive. I think every single week I finished either 5-4 or 4-5. My final standings was like 80, 79, and 3. And I barely made the playoffs. And I almost actually got out of the first round of the playoffs in this industry league. And I think we will be running this industry league back. I think it's going to expand a little bit. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know where that's going. I hope it does. Like, I had a good time. I think it's a good way to view how people who kind of either do this for a living or really dedicate a lot of time, how they do like transactions, like the kind of like bid on players. If you have one of those like fab leagues or whatever, which this is, I like that. I actually like that format, even though I'm not a big head to head guy. I'll take fifth. That's fine with me.
I feel like fab is the fairest way to do it too, just in the sense that like everybody can get any player. And if you spend all your fab in the first week, that was on you.
I think you should. That's what I learned from doing this head-to-head league, is that you should probably spend 90% of your fab in the first month. Maybe I'm wrong, but how I feel about it.
I can see that logic because you're probably getting more breakout players at that point, where as opposed to like at the middle and end of the season, you're just getting like, oh, this guy's hurt. I'm going to get his injury replacement.
Yeah. Or it's like that February, you know, the weird season, the silly season. It's like, all of a sudden, Shlomo Jones from the G League came up and he's dropping like 40 a night. I'm going to bid on him in March, like February or March. Maybe save like $20 for that, $25 for that. I don't know. But like, is that worth it? Is that worth saving? Like saving some money all the way through the season when you could have had like a bunch of like actual like top 60 players for the majority of the season? I don't think it's worth it.
I'd say that's all fair.
Every year, I think we like learn a little bit more about all the various formats that we have in this. I even liked a points league I was in. I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, I like points leagues. I kind of wish it would siphon into like one type of format just to make our lives easier. But maybe that's the appeal of fantasy basketball, is that there's like a bunch of different ways to play it. play it however you want. You can be invested however you want. You can do leagues where it's just like, oh, the best player started, and that's, you're not even like paying attention. You don't have to like set your lineups and shit. However you like to play it, I think I'm all for it. I think I'm gonna be less negative this year, Tyler. Maybe my daughter has made me less cynical about. I don't think so, but maybe she has. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think any way you like to play is fair. I would also say that, like, it's not my favorite way to play points leagues, but I don't hate on anyone who likes to play that way. And I think if you're just getting into it, it's an easier way to get into it because it's easier to figure out, like, oh, this player's good, he scores a lot of points. And you don't have to necessarily worry about, like, all the assists and points and rebounds and all that, like, steals. Like, you can just focus on one thing, which is, you know, a total number of points created by adding up some of those things.
Yeah, I love it. That's why we play fantasy basketball. That's why we continue to talk about fantasy basketball all the time. And we want to thank all the listeners for, you know, sticking with us all season long. We're going to review the bold predictions that we did at the beginning of the season, because I think this is like the best time here at the end of the season, when the NBA season is still like fresh in your mind. This is the best time to prepare for next season. Look back at what you thought was going to happen, where you were right, where you were wrong, why you were wrong, and then what surprised us this season, and what that means for next season. Like, this is now the time, because come August, September, October, you're going to have drank too much, smoked too much weed, done too many club drugs all summer long. The heat will get to you, the humidity is going to get to you, and you're going to forget all about the fact that Tobias Harris was the 54th best player on games average. You're going to forget that. You're going to forget that happened. And you should. You should forget that happened, because, like, you know, shout out Tobias Harris. We always actually recommend drafting Tobias Harris, like, every single year. And then every single year he's, like, the 100th something draft player. And it's like, he's in the top 75. Shout out Tobias Harris. And I think, Tyler, we will start with someone we already mentioned. And I'm not going to give this to you. You got this one. Wimby finishes in the top 25. That is your bold prediction. I said 6 rookies would finish in the top 100. I got, like, real crazy there at the beginning. And, I mean, a couple of them did have historic rookie seasons. But, like, Wimby takes the cake. Tyler, you were actually undersold, Wimby. Number 6. Sixth in averages in let's do 8 cat. Let me turn off turnovers for a second. It's still 6. All right, cool. Congratulations.
What's nice crazy call. Is he's played under 30 minutes a game. So they didn't really try to push him in any way, and that was one of the reasons why I kind of backed this down a little bit, was I figured, you know, we'll kind of be safe on games, safe on minutes, because he had never really played, like, a ton of games in a season. He played 71 games. He played just under 30 minutes, and he was still a 6th-ranked player. We talk all the time about how hard it is to do that, but, like, obviously the crazy blocks, the elite rebounds, you know, over 20 points a game, good assists, good steals, good threes, good percentages. Like, he's just great across the board, and he's only going to get better. He's only 20 years old, and yeah, I think we're going to, you know, people are going to be picking him in the top 5 for the next 15 years.
Yeah, forever. I mean, he's instantly a first round player, even in my head. You have to go pretty far back to find a rookie who finished that high. Like, it's years. I guess you got Luka. Well, no, Luka didn't finish that high. Shai Gilgeous didn't finish that high. Not his rookie year. Like, Anthony Davis? Is that the last time a rookie came out and finished that high? I'm trying to do the math here.
Probably, because, I mean, like, a lot of it is you got to be a big man, kind of, because you got to get those rebounds, probably. The blocks obviously. The blocks are the easiest category too. I mean, like, we talk about this all the time. Like, are blocks somewhat overrated, especially for those guys that get like two and a half a game? Like, so there's not many of them, granted. But like, if you do get that many, you know, you can really vault up the rankings fast, because, you know, 0.7 or 0.8 blocks is decent blocks. So if you're getting three times that many, if you're getting 2.4, that's obviously a big, big boost.
Well, this is what I love. You said two things about Wimby, and we can talk. Let's talk a little bit about next year. Probably the consensus is that he's going to be a first round player, period. Like, for the foreseeable future. You love the fact that he played a little bit less than 30 minutes a game. And I also love the steals are over one. The assists are already up to four. And if you punt blocks, completely, punt turnovers, punt blocks, Wimby is the 36th ranked player. Ahead of Kristaps Porzingis, ahead of CJ McCollum, he's ahead of Bam Adebayo punting blocks. Like, that's a great fantasy player without the blocks. Like, without, like, because, you know, a lot of these guys who get blocks, they, like you're saying, they shoot up the rankings. And overall, you look at the rest of their shit, they're not that good. That's not the case with Wimby.
I mean, yeah, there's a great case for him to be number one next year. Like, I think the race for number one, it's, you know, it's four crazy. Or five players. It's Jokic, it's SGA, it's Luka, and it's Victor Wembanyama.
That's nuts. Because even when AD came into the league, that wasn't the conversation we were having about in fantasy.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't know that we've ever been having this, but I don't know that we've ever seen a Victor Wembanyama. So,
no, that guy's awesome. He's amazing. And also, shout out to Chet Holmgren, who, like, also historically good rookie year, like, from a player who ended up, finishing? Oh, Chet. What? The only guy named Chet in the league, by the way, in many years. 27th overall. Who also played under 30 minutes a game on a team that, quite frankly, looks like a favorite to win the title.
Oh, yeah.
That's really nice.
They're dangerous.
They're very dangerous. So I don't think we're going to have a rookie class next season that we even sniff at, really. But I do want to shout out Brandon Miller as a guy that I like. Surprisingly, he's surprisingly good. And I feel like he almost finished in the top 100. And I don't know. I feel like he's got a lot of potential. He's under the radar. He's on a team that no one thinks about or talks about. So keeping an eye on Brandon Miller for next year.
Me too. I mean, I think I mentioned him as a guy going undrafted that you wanted in my bold predictions even at the beginning of the season. But like, I think for him, he's got one of those like strange across the board games. Not strange, I shouldn't say that. He's one of those like good across the board games. And it'll be interesting to see how high he can rise in fantasy. And I think he might be a guy that we're not picking at the beginning of next year's drafts, because people are gonna get hyped on, you know, he's gonna be so much better in his second year, and he just doesn't really have a lot of elite categories.
No. He's just kind of like very reminiscent of like an Otto Porter or a Mile, like maybe not a Mile or maybe not a Bridges, like, because he's actually kind of good, even though he had like incredibly disappointing season, and we can talk about that in a little bit. But I feel like if you like, he's definitely a guy I think who improves and like becomes a little bit like watching that team, watching the Hornets, does feel like he's kind of the better player on that team, and they got nowhere to go. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what that franchise in general doesn't know what they're doing. So I don't know. We'll keep an eye on Brandon Miller. Shout out to the rookies. I'm going to just jump through a few of our bold predictions that were just shit. Just fucking absolute garbage. And a lot of them are mine. Surprise, surprise. Jordan Poole scoring champion. Yipes. Is this the most disappointing like you've ever felt about a player? It's, for me, it's like close. It's probably like top two or three most disappointed, most hype I was feeling about a player preseason, and most disappointed at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't look like he wanted to play for most of the season, at least what from what I saw. So yeah, there was obviously a lot of disappointment there, and I don't know where this goes from here. But yeah, you hoped he would take a big step forward, and now I don't know. So yeah, it was bad. It was bad all around.
It was it was shit. It was absolute garbage, and he, I don't know. He looks like he's hanging out at the clubs a little bit too much in DC. Don't know where that goes, but hey, man, get paid. I'm all for it. I had Markelle Fultz as most improved player, top 60. Probably should have said Kobe White in that particular position.
Would have been much better.
Yeah. Weirdly, speaking of the Magic, you got one like weirdly wrong and right in like the best way. You predicted that the Magic will make the playoffs with two top 50 players. And they did make the playoffs with no top 50 players. And I actually don't know how that's possible.
I mean, I guess good total team effort makes it possible. Also, the East maybe not being great made it possible. But yeah, I mean, I think here it was a good call that the Magic make the playoffs. I still think Ben Caro's good. I still think Franz Wagner's good. So I guess I'll take the half win.
Yeah, you can take a half win there. You got to take a zero win on Carl Anthony Towns getting traded and ending up as a top 15 player. I think if he did get traded, he would end up as a top 15 player. But surprisingly, the Timberwolves are also good.
Yeah, and I guess the big thing there was Gobert went from being not very good last year to being exceptionally good, and that helped the Timberwolves be the third seed in the West. So credit for those two for getting it together and figuring out how to play together.
Shout out to them. Scoot Henderson is a top 50 player. Wow. Also another incredibly disappointing.
I'm less worried about that one
for next year.
Yeah, I'm less worried about it because I think he did something similar to what Darius Garland and Russell Westbrook and some of these other guys have done where they weren't very good as rookies, but there were flashes there where you were like, there's something here. There's something here.
There is something there, but halfway through the season, I wouldn't have agreed with you. There was nothing there. But the speed of the game, basically turning a team over to a rookie point guard, hardly ever works maybe never works, looking through the history. Look at Kyrie Irving's rookie year. Like you're saying, look at Darius Garland. Look at all these players who are really, really good fantasy players. Look at the rookie year. It's shit. The last month or so, Scoot Henderson, top 100 player. So, you know, just keep an eye on. I'm keeping an eye on Scoot for next year as well.
Yeah, he's going to be fine.
I think he's going to be just fine. Actually, I was expecting to list more of our incredible fails, and there's not too many left. I had Dame as the number one overall totals player. He ended up 16th in totals. It's not bad. Not terrible. I also said Zion would play less than 40. Oh, so go ahead.
I was just trying to remember. Dame had already been traded by the time we did our predictions, right?
I believe so.
Oh yeah.
I don't think he did. I don't think he had. I don't know.
That's what I mean. It's hard to say, but even if he was, I would say that it was still not a bad call in the sense that you thought Dame was gonna do, you know, to go off in Milwaukee, in Portland, wherever he was, and didn't quite happen. But I would still say it showed that you like Damian Lillard. And so some of these, like, we're gonna get to a couple of them. I think like the Wembanyama one that we talked about. I think if you use the advice the way you should have used it, and like, well, here, I'll throw out this Tyrese Maxey one, right? I said Tyrese Maxey's going to end up as a top 35 player ahead of KD, Kawhi, and Zion. Now, was I advocating for you to draft him over KD, Kawhi, or Zion? I was not.
No.
What I was advocating for you to do was draft him. Well, he finished 21st. So if you did draft him, especially at 40 where he was going, or wherever he was going, I don't really remember, but
yeah, no.
You got a really good player at a incredible bargain. So like if you use the advice the way it was intended to be used, you still won, even though KD finished 10th and Kawhi finished 7th.
Yeah, absolutely. Same with the Dame thing. Number one over on totals. Holy shit, should I draft him number one overall in the league? No. Should you consider him in the end of the first round, into the second round? Yeah, he finished 16th. And same with like the Maxey thing, right? KD and Kawhi played historically more games than they've played in a while. Shout out to them.
And that might be something worth talking about too going into next year, is like that player participation policy forced people to play a lot more games. It just did.
It certainly did, which makes me once again suggest play out your season. Like, you know, I think a lot of head-to-head leagues, and some of these head-to-head leagues start their playoffs like during the All-Star break. Like, what the fuck are you doing? It's ridiculous. Another really good example of this is Alper Sengun finishes outside the top 100. Well, he didn't, but he did finish 68th. And that coincides with one of my predictions as well. Is that, or maybe it was one of yours, is that you would have Danny Gafford finishing higher than Sengun, Jared Allen, Nick Claxton, and Walker Kessler. So
this was all you.
Yeah,
this was not me. Yeah. This was all you.
And Gafford finished 32nd above all those dudes. Jared Allen finished well. But this is the advice we were giving. People aren't paying attention to Danny Gafford. Everyone's paying attention to these four centers, like right in that third, fourth round area. But Gafford's going later. Gafford's just as good, if not better than them. Well, it turns out, even if I missed one of those, it was the right advice. And your advice was, Sengun is not as good as he's being led on to be. He was the worst one of those guys.
Yeah, and I think, even though Sengun played well, I think the thought process there was that the Rockets, you know, he wasn't quite a Ime Udoka player. And I think maybe we saw that once he got hurt. But the Rockets suddenly seemed better, and Sengun wasn't on the team. So what that means for his future, I guess, is questionable. But it will definitely be interesting, because he doesn't really seem to fit what Udoka wants to do.
No, he doesn't. And I don't know where that team goes. It was weird to have them like so strong at the beginning of the season. Everybody kind of like talking about them, looking at blah blah blah. But then they, like, I wouldn't say they lost their way. I just think they have a lot of moving parts that are developing that you're saying don't really fit together.
Houston, I did a mock draft last week, and I had a very hard time figuring out who to put, you know, the Rockets would take, right? Because I feel like they do have a lot of pieces and they have a lot of young talent, but like, I don't know, what piece do they need now? Well, it depends on who they really are building around and who they're planning on trying to move for other pieces, I think. And I don't really know the answers to those questions.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's going to be one of our threads going into next season, is that we got to keep an eye on the Houston Rockets, because the West is a bloodbath, right? An absolute bloodbath. And they got some good players. Like, I like Amin Thompson. Like, I think he could be a really good fantasy player in the future as well. Jalen Green sometimes is like incredible and sometimes like terrible. And it's like, what do you do with that? And one of one of my bold predictions was around Fred VanVleet, who we love, who played almost 37 minutes a game this season. And I had him as a top 15 in totals. This is a guy, Fred VanVleet, who was not. Was not being drafted in the top 15 or in the top 25, and he ended up 23rd in totals because he's great. And if you don't give a shit about turnovers or field goal percentage, let me just click this button right here and search for Fred, 18th. If you don't give a shit about field goal percentage, which, you know, Fred VanVleet is not, that's not who he is. So, like, I don't know. You can't really build a team around Fred VanVleet, but damn, is he a good piece.
Yeah, and again, this was you saying he was, you know, going underrated in drafts, and he was. So I'd say this is a big win for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. One of the things we got wrong, and I'm glad I got it wrong. I'm actually very pleased that I got it wrong. I said Zion will play. Oh, wait a minute. Did I say Zion would play less than 45 games or more than 45 games? It looks like a greater than symbol here in my notes.
I'm pretty sure you said he played less than 45 games.
Damn it. All right, I'm going to say I said less than 45 games. That's a weird number, though.
I think so. Right. I think we both got ourselves in trouble by betting the under on guys playing, right? Like, I mean, I mentioned the KD and Kawhi thing, right? Like, KD and Kawhi played. Zion played. Everybody played unless they were legitimately hurt. And so betting the under on people's games next year may be something to consider not doing, right? Like, Kawhi's not just going to sit out the random games unless they rule back this player participation policy, which I don't think is going to happen. Right? KD's not just going to sit out random games when he's not that hurt. Like, these guys are going to play.
This is a fantastic data point. Go look at the games played. They are much higher than we thought, much higher than we expected, especially for, like you're saying, especially for the guys like Steph Curry, 74, Kevin Durant, 75. James Harden, 72. Like, Paul George, 74. We already talked about Kawhi. Where is it? Jokic played 79. That guy ain't going nowhere. Unless you were seriously injured.
Here's my question about that. So, does it make guys like Joel Embiid and even Zion more valuable or less valuable going into next year?
Does it make them riskier?
I actually think it makes them slightly less valuable, just those two specifically. Because I think guys like Kawhi are more valuable because Kawhi would sit out games for Kawhi-ness, like just didn't want to do it, whatever, like thought, you know, had some random, you know, math equation that said he's more likely to get hurt, whatever. I think it makes guys
Anthony
like that
Anthony
more
Davis
valuable.
Does that a lot as well.
Right. Whereas guys like Joel Embiid and Zion like tend to legitimately get injured. And I don't think there's anything we can ever do about that.
No, not at all. Kyrie actually gets injured, right? Under the radar, Larry Market only played 55 games. That Utah team is also weird.
Was one of the teams too that they tanked the end big time. Like they sat their entire team.
They were ready to call it. But also like Larry Markkanen, I think we talked about this in preseason. It's not in our bold predictions or anything. But we were like, how does Larry Markkanen get better than he was last season? Like best case scenario is that he does what he did last season. So in the previous season, he was 25, about 8.5, half a block, half a steal, 3 3-pointers. And this season, he was 23, 8, half a block, almost a steal, 3 3-pointers. He did the thing that he does, which is play fairly well in those categories. Where does he get better? I mean, his steals got a little bit better, but where does he get better going into the next season? So he kind of made that leap, considering a team actually decided to play him in a position and not just sit him in the corner and then make him clock in on a fucking time card like he works at a factory job. Fucking Jim Boylan. He had to get rid of the stink of Jim Boylan. And he finally progressed into a quality player that he is in that 22-23 season. But then people were like, shit, this guy's a breakout. He's going to be even better and even better. He's only 26. This is as good as he's going to be, right? Like, which is good. This is still a quality player. You can't get, you know, I don't think you can get too hyped on, like, the progression of guys who don't have, like, another role to play, right? He's not going to suddenly become a point guard.
Yeah, and I think we talked about that a lot, and I think it's going to keep being a thing for, like, a lot of these guys. It's like, where does this person get better? How does he get better? You know, and if there's not more touches, more ball handling opportunities like there were for someone like Devin Booker this year, that gets very hard because, you know, most guys don't go from, like, 0.9 steals to 1.5. Like, that's just not a thing that happens.
Yeah, there are variances that happen like that, but it's not, like, that's not something that's, like, normal or consistent. Speaking of Devin Booker, we both got bold predictions about Devin Booker because we did see that kind of pathway to a significant improvement with, you know, Chris Paul leaving and the fact that they needed a point guard and Bradley Beal. We're like, oh, everybody's saying Bradley Beal's point guard. And we're like, hold up, y'all. Bradley Beal was kind of a point guard, but Devin Booker's better than Bradley Beal at distributing and being good at that particular skill. I said Devin Booker will average more assists than CP3. Booker averaged 6.9. CP3 only averaged 6.8. Gotcha, ass. And Tyler, I'm going to give it to you. You said Devin Booker finished in the top 5, which is a bold prediction. Finished in the top 12. That's a first-round player.
Right, and I don't think anyone really had him too much as a first-round player, so I would say that, again, like that's on the basis of, like, hey, I want to get Devin Booker. I should draft him in the late first or early second round. Well, you got a late first-round player, so I think you won that if you did that.
Yes. Absolutely. I would completely agree with that. And I think we got... We got two more. Chris Middleton's a top 40 player. I agree with that, actually. Chris Middleton is... I'm going to actually give this one to you. He finished 96th, but he also played limited minutes. He played limited games. And if he didn't do that, which is what we all kind of said, like, hey, I think Chris Middleton's back. He's going to be playing. They're saving him for the playoffs, and that's completely understandable. I do think Chris Middleton, if he's playing normal Chris Middleton minutes in, like, games, he is a top 40 player. He's a better Tobias Harris, and Tobias Harris finished top 54.
He finished 81st in per game ACAT, which is pretty good. Like, he's pretty good, and like, he was going probably around there. So like, even if you picked him, I don't think you totally lost out. I mean, sure, like, was he top 40? No, but like, again, I think he's talented, and at that range in the draft where he was going, like, and he's probably going to be going around 100 next year because people are going to be like, oh, Middleton's not going to play. Like, he's the best player available at that point.
Yes. He'll be in the exact same position next season and the season after that, and everybody's going to go, this guy fucking doesn't play fucking 26 minutes and he plays half of his, fuck this guy. And he'll drop even further, and then you'll get a nice little steal. And is there a chance? Is there a shooter's chance at Chris Middleton, like, playing for a contract, might play more minutes because he's healthier in a season and then in next season or the season after that? And all of a sudden, you are looking at a top 50 guy that you got outside of the top 100. So
if the guys around him are like Kelly Olynyk and Denny Avdija and Jordan Poole and Cam Thomas, like, if that's the range he's getting drafted in, like that 100, 110 range, like, you can have those guys if you want. I'll take Middleton every time.
100%. Same here. I'm going to give you an NA due to injury. Desmond Bane, top 15 player and averages 28 points a game. He's a top 30 player and averaged 24 points a game. That's pretty close. I'm going to give you I'm not going to hold that one against you.
Well, and I think we thought the Grizzlies would have, 25 games without Ja because he was suspended, but they would kind of get back on track and be in the playoffs. And obviously, they had the most injured roster this season. So, I don't know that anyone saw that coming. I think every one of their players missed significant time. Like, every one of their expected rotation players missed significant time. Sometimes things just break badly. And sometimes you have a very string of bad luck, which the Grizzlies seem to have this year. Grizzlies will be definitely an interesting team next year because a lot of people will be writing them off after this kind of lost season. And it'll be interesting to see how well they can bounce back and how well Marcus Smart fits with Ja Morant and Desmond Bane, which gives them kind of a very, very small, backcourt. So that'll all be interesting to watch.
Yeah, you kind of beat me to it. I was going to say this poor season by the Memphis Grizzlies, and specifically Desmond Bane, right? Which he didn't have a poor season, but 42 games played, injuries, etc., right? Out of sight, out of mind. People are going to be overlooking the Memphis Grizzlies next season, probably also Jaren Jackson Jr., who went from, possibly second round player that everybody's super excited about back into the that mid 40s range, right? When people get burnt like that, and when they get burnt by injuries too. When you think about Desmond Bane, people go, ah, fuck these guys, they fucking ruined my season, I ain't drafting them. And then also, they weren't picked up by anybody or traded to anybody in your leagues. I'm specifically thinking about, you know, dynasty leagues, etc. They tend to get ignored because if you didn't have them on your team and they're not super popular and they had a bad season, people usually kind of play them off. And Desmond Bane didn't have a bad season, in my opinion. He got injured, but like per game value, pretty good. And there's no reason to think he's going to get worse. So I don't know. Like, I think they will all be overlooked.
Next season, something I think will definitely happen. And I think it's definitely a mistake. John Morant will be drafted. John Morant will be drafted over Desmond Bane next year. And I think Desmond Bane finishes higher than John Morant.
Yes. 100% chance. John Morant will be the only guy who gets drafted maybe in the top 50 next year for Memphis. And I hope not. Like, that seems excessive, but maybe. And you should draft two players before him. Actually, I think you should get Jaren Jackson as well. All right, these are the cream of the crops. These are the bold predictions that we made that I think are the most important bold predictions, Tyler. I said Dennis Schroeder, Derek Lively, Coby White, John Collins will all finish in the top 100. Schroeder and Lively almost did. Collins certainly did. And Coby White had an absolutely insane breakout season. And then you went, with, as you always do, with the undrafted players. Deontay George, Jaden Ivey, Obi Toppin, Brandon Miller, Jeremy Sochin, Jalen Johnson. And for Jalen Johnson alone, we're putting a crown on top of your head, Tyler. Jalen Johnson, I love Jalen Johnson. Undrafted.
Yeah, Jalen Johnson.
Basically be a top 50 player. Yeah, top 50 player.
Yeah, and some of these, like, they're not wins. But again, like, this is what you should always try to do in your draft is, you know, you should, you know, watch the games and go like, oh, Jalen Johnson's good. Brandon Miller's good. I'm going to draft these guys with my last pick and try to get somebody with some upside that can be a top, you know, 50 player, a top 75 player. Like, so many people just draft, I don't know, the guy who always finishes at the end of the draft. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really have the name off the top of my head, but like in the last round, I'll pick, I don't know, Buddy Hield or like, you know, some Kentavious Caldwell Pope. Like, we know what Kentavious Caldwell Pope is.
Malcolm Brogdon.
Right. Like, we know what those guys are. Like, especially in a shallower league, like, just go for somebody that has upside. And if it hits, it hits. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. That's fine.
Yeah, chances are, if you drafted Bobby Portis, you dropped him, you picked him back up. You dropped him, someone else picked him back up. They dropped him, you picked them back up. While if you went, tried to get Brandon Miller, maybe you dropped him because you got tired of him, but then someone picked him up and they reaped the benefits of it. If you had Jalen Johnson, you'd be pretty happy by now. You'd be very happy by now. So, yeah,
and I mean, same thing with yours. Like, Derek Lively was good pretty much all season. Now at the end, he kind of fell down a little bit because Gafford was playing more minutes, but even still, like, Lively was good and nobody was really taking him. Dennis Schroeder was good. Nobody was really taking him. Yeah. Coby White was fantastic. Coby White was a top 30 player.
You're very happy if you took Coby White, even if you just got John Collins, right? Outside of that top 100 somewhere out there. You held on to him the whole season. We're like, yeah, this guy's fine. He's good.
Yeah, and so I think that's the key is, like, just find players that you believe in. That's always what you want to do.
I do think, and even Jeremy Sochin had a decent season when he played in limited minutes. I do think there are a group of players. They're obviously second year, third year, fourth year players. We keep an eye on them. We want them to improve. We want them to do better. They're usually the designated breakout candidates, right? Shout out some of the late bloomers like Coby White, And Danny Gafford, I think, found a nice home in Dallas. Like, I think that's really going to work out for him. You see people like Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Tyrese Maxey. They have skyrocketed to the top in their, what is this, fourth year, I believe. That's usually how that works. Looking at the players, the younger players, who I'm keeping an eye on for next season. There's kind of like a handful, right? Jalen Johnson being one of them, right? I love how underrated he is. I love his game across the board. I think he's very, very good. But in that class, in that 2021 class, obviously Scotty Barnes had an insane breakout and kind of a regression there at this second half. Also some injury, whatever. Toronto Raptors don't have a direction other than to build around Scotty Barnes and his goofy ass. So, Scotty Barnes, obviously, fantastic fantasy player. Franz Wagner had a very good season. Jalen Green, sometimes great, sometimes not. Jalen Suggs played a lot better this season. Cade Cunningham, I feel like even though, because he's been injured so much, we haven't really seen like a 100% good Cade Cunningham. Any of these players, Tyler, that you're like, oh, you got to keep an eye on, not just this class, but any of the recent rookie classes.
That's a good question. I think so. Some of these guys, like, not the most fantasy friendly games, but I'll give you one from that 2021 class that I think is going to come on a lot more next year, and that's Jonathan Kuminga, because when he started and was playing big minutes, like, he was scoring like 20 points a game. And his numbers still don't look great. He finished 149th. He was only playing 26.3 minutes per game. But that was mostly because at the beginning of the season, like, he was getting like 20 minutes a game. And then once they started starting him and playing him over 30 minutes, like, he really was kind of blossoming. So that could be a guy that's like maybe barely inside the top 100 next year. That could be a top, you know, 75, top, maybe even a top 50 player. Like, he's a guy that I'm definitely keeping an eye on and seeing what his draft stock goes to from that 2021 class. Another guy in that 2021 class that I think is really good and maybe kind of showing you that he deserves to start and gets more minutes next year is Trey Murphy.
Yes. And Trey Murphy's got, like, I think if you play fantasy, you know Trey Murphy because you probably have picked him up at some point and been like, dang, I really like, I like this guy's game. He's actually kind of good. He's kind of holding me up in some of these weeks. Sure, he played a lot of minutes in New Orleans this season, which is fantastic.
He actually played under 30 and finished as the 100th ranked player. So if he gets it up to like 32, 33, yes, we're talking, you know, that's going to be maybe a top 75 player, because he's still got room to grow his game too. Like, he's young.
Because in those last 2 months, he did play like 34, 35 minutes a game. And then you saw him blossom up from a top 100 player to top 50 player, right? Like, it's those changes that these teams are going to be making. What does Golden State look like next season? I have no idea. But you look at the fact that Kuminga played 28 minutes in the last 2 months, and averaged 18 with shooting threes, 5 rebounds, almost 3 assists. That's the stat I'm keying in on. Almost 3 assists.
It's Golden State, so they're going to keep doing that, you know, motion offense. So he's going to get assists. He's going to have to, because he's going to have to keep passing the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, let's say there's no Draymond there. Well, that role could be filled by someone like Kuminga. Like, that absolutely could happen. One player that I won't shut up about it in this offseason. I won't shut up about it next season as well. I'm already starting my bold predictions, Tyler. Jalen Williams, second round player. That is what he is worth next season. And I will stand by it. Watch the playoffs. Like, watch the playoffs. And what I love is everyone's talking about SGA. Everybody's talking about Chet. And then Jalen Williams is like silently dropping 21, 5, and 7. Cool. Fantastic. That sounds like a second round player to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's really good, and he's only going to get better, and that Thunder team's only going to get better. Any worries about that 2022 draft class yet? It's still early for them, but I feel like a lot of those top other than Jalen Williams, like the lottery picks, there's a lot of the guys where I'm already kind of going like, ugh, don't feel great about him.
I like Keegan Murray.
Oh, Keegan Murray's gonna be good. But Jabari Smith, yeah. How you feeling about that?
I'm not feeling great about Jabari Smith, but that feels like a great this is the Chicago Bulls special, right? Is that you don't use the player correctly at all. He kind of looks disappointing. And then he goes somewhere where they actually, like, I don't know, develop the player and then play him in a role that makes sense. And then he's, like, significantly better. He's, like, 21 years old. I feel like I'm not giving up on Jabari Smith. I'm absolutely not. I might be giving up on Walker Kessler. I want Jaden Ivey to be good, but we'll see.
Yeah, and then, like, there's Mathurin in that top, you know, in that lottery. There's Johnny Davis, mm-hmm. who's bad. There's, you know, like, even Oche Opaji, like, not good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of lottery picks in that draft where they're, like, going, like, I don't feel great about that pick. Dyson Daniels, another guy, like, we'll see. Like, what does he turn into? He's got some talent, got some potential, but I'm not sure we've seen enough yet to be sold on him. Jeremy Sochan, is he always a backup?
Yeah.
There's a possibility.
It's not boding well right now, but you know, things happen.
Even the picks that, like, are not looking great, a lot of them. Like, you know, you got AJ Griffin who barely played. You got, you know, Dalen Terry.
Dalen Terry is the next Scottie Pippen. I don't know what you're talking about.
Jake LaRavia, like, you know, David Roddy. Mm.
Yeah, it's a pretty poor class. Moving so far, down.
I do. Think, so we'll see.
Yeah, so far,
these guys can break out. So that's something to watch.
Like Terry, it feels like Terry Eason had the occasional like, "Ooh, that guy looks kind of good, kind of not good." I don't know. I know Jalen Williams is good. I know Keegan Murray is good, and Paolo Banchero obviously is good. Like he's fantastic. Fantasy wise, right? You have those big free throw / turnover / you know, doesn't really, in my opinion, get enough blocks and steals and threes to ever be like a really truly top 50 player. But then he's, you know, he's kind of like the Zach Randolph special where it's like three categories he's fantastic at. And if you want to build around that, go right ahead. He is worth more than his overall ranking. But then like, I know Paolo is to only 21, right? So like, I love that his assists increase. I love that. But the ancillary stats will always keep him out of the top tier.
Yeah, he's another guy where I think I probably won't have him on any teams next year just because of what you mentioned. Like, he's not going to be good in those certain categories, and therefore he's going to be overvalued because people are going to see his big points and his incredible potential and be like, this is a top 30 player. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Not sure about that. And, if you're in one of those weird head-to-head leagues and you punt right off the back, which is something we tell you not to do every single year, then go for it. Like, draft them way, way, way too high. That's fine with me. Hopefully your punt strategy works every single week during the playoffs. You know, that's 6 months from when you draft. Good luck. Or you can not do that and focus on players that do everything across the board or players that are already good instead of guys you want to be better. Guys who are already better. That's probably what you should be doing next season. Other than the games played, which we did talk about, I think that bodes well, like you said, for guys who, like Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard. Is there anything else this season that took you by surprise? We talked about the rookies. We talked about some of these young players coming up. We talked about the games played. Is there anything else you're like, whoa, I didn't expect that to happen?
I would say the thing that I didn't expect to happen that took me by surprise the most was how good the West was. Like, yeah. The Kings were the third seed last year. How many games did they win, do you know?
50. 48.
They won 48. And this year they won 46 and were ninth. They would have been still, if they would have won the 48 that they won last year, they still would have been Ninth.
That's crazy.
And so, yeah, they were in the 9-10 play-in game against the Warriors, and they won two fewer games than they did last year when they were the third seed. So I guess just is how insanely deep that West was. And, like, even the Rockets, they were 41-41. I don't think they were a bad team. They probably deserved to be in the play-in. They were not, because that West was so tough. And Memphis is going to be back next year. Victor Wembanyama ain't going anywhere. So, yeah, that West is preparing to be insane for the next at least few years, and it'll make it very difficult on teams like the Clippers and the Suns, who are getting older and don't really have a lot of avenues to improve their team with this new second apron coming in. So it'll be interesting to see if those teams are in total rebuild mode in the next 2 years.
I think we're actually going to see a wild shift. The Golden State Warriors didn't make the playoffs this year. We talked about a fantasy shift, younger guys coming up, the old guard starting to tail off. But one of the things you also have to equate, right, is that good GMs, I don't see any of those in Chicago, but good GMs are looking 5-8 years down the road, and they're going to look at their teams currently, and they're going to look around at the West. They're going to look at the Oklahoma City Thunder whooping everybody's ass, and they're going to say, what is our window? What is our window with these veterans? What is their value? And you're going to see, like you're saying, a crazy shift of all these players that we just talked about right now, today. You're going to see a huge cycle, recycling of all these players, all these teams, to position themselves better for a future season, unless you're the Chicago Bulls, who will just continue to have Vucevic on their team and Zach LaVine. And I think that will really, really shake up fantasy basketball a lot more, because I think you'll see younger players who are on these teams who want to like shift towards the future, you'll see them playing even more, getting more playing time, being more valuable in fantasy. While, you know, what is the future of Kevin Durant and Paul George? I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you're already starting to hear the rumors on some of these players, and so it'll be interesting to see where it goes and what the league looks like in a couple years, and how many teams try to dodge this second apron after they realize that the restrictions make it very hard to do anything. I mean, like, you can't take back more money than you give out in a trade. You can't trade two players for one player anymore, or three players for one player. You can't aggregate players in a trade. You can't use your trade exceptions. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you're going to really, like, upgrade that roster in Phoenix or in Los Angeles, other than signing minimum players, and like that's always a gamble, and it usually doesn't work out great.
And I'm here for it. I'm here for the parody, because I do think that the NBA is better when it's not just two teams playing for the finals every single season. Like I really do. I think the fact that the New York Knicks are the second seed in the East is insane. That to me is the most surprising thing, that Jalen Brunson is that good. You know, I was wrong. I was like, he's not that good last season. And then I was like, well, he's not going to get better this season. I was wrong. Jalen Brunson's a fantastic player. Tibbs is a fantastic coach.
Knicks are good.
Yeah, but they're like three games away from being the 7-8 seed instead of the 2 seed. Right? It's that parity, I think, is going to be fantastic for the NBA.
Well, look at the Sixers. I mean, the Sixers at one point were like, oh man, they might be the 2 seed. Joel Embiid gets hurt, and they're in the 7. You know, they're in the play-in, and they could have easily been on the road in the play-in. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, it's going to be crazy, and there's a lot of talent, and it's going to be interesting to see how it gets dispersed across the league over the next couple years.
Yeah, and I think it's also going to reduce those like kind of like big three situations where like someone like Harden goes somewhere and he has to play third fiddle behind Paul George and Kawhi, and it's like, I wish he was starting on his own team so I could get better stats from him on in fantasy basketball. Yeah, I think that's gonna the big three shit's gonna happen a lot less.
100%.
Well, that's it. I hope you've enjoyed your fantasy basketball season. We will obviously be back for the NBA draft and all the fun free agency stuff this summer. We hope you enjoy your summer. We hope you had a great fantasy season. Have fun watching the playoffs. The playoffs have been great. Like, this is an incredibly enjoyable NBA season. And Tyler and I will be back with more fantasy basketball and watching the boxes. We appreciate you. Thank you for listening. We do it all for the fans, all for listeners. If you have any feedback, if you want to give us suggestions, hit us up on Twitter. You can find me at Watch the Boxes. You can find Tyler at Tyler P. Watts, W-A-T-T-S. And we will see you next time.